The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers were sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out all of the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people. And indeed, no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, like I did with the children, you know, when we're trying to get to know somebody or we meet somebody new and we have a conversation, we want to know them even better. One of the things that we do, we start sharing pictures with one another. And I'm sure a lot of you have sat with other folks at a function and somebody pulls out their phone. These days we don't use the photo albums. Somebody will pull out their phone and they'll have 2,000-3,000 pictures on their phone that they can just breeze through at a moment's notice. You know, it's fun to share pictures of our past. I could probably show you some pictures of me when I was younger and you would say, that doesn't look like you. My dad would tell you that, you know, my hair was much too long. And he used to do something about it too. He used to cut it off. And not one of my favorite memories to recall. You know, one of the things that we do though, we share photos from our photo albums. And one of the books that I used to pull out, I don't pull it out too often anymore, but sometimes I do. In certain company, I'll share with them some photo albums that I have from my days when I was in the Navy. Lots and lots of different places and memories and experiences that I have in those books. I also have a photo album. It's about, oh, yay, thick like that. And it's pictures that my parents have saved for me over the years, ever since I was just a baby. And things that they have saved for me. Not only does it help tell people who I am, but it also jogs my memory on some of the things. You know, pictures tell us a lot about ourselves, like I did with the kids. You know, the pictures I had there told them that I was a pastor. It tells them that I'm married and that I have children. You know, every now and then, though, when you're sharing those pictures and somebody else in your family has pictures of you as well, how do you feel when they pull out those embarrassing ones? You know, those pictures when you really didn't realize there was a camera around. You know, nowadays you have to really be on your toes because there's cameras everywhere. Everybody has a camera in their pocket. You know, some of those embarrassing pictures like, you know, if you're not a dancer, but you're at some kind of gathering and people are dancing, so you're out there dancing and somebody takes a picture of you dancing. You know, that's when they get to see the real you. Or everybody's favorite, when you walk up on somebody and say hello and they turn around, they got a mouthful of food and you take their picture. Yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah, we don't like it when the camera's aware, you know, around there, and we're not aware that the camera's nearby. And we all have those embarrassing pictures in our past. But you know, they tell us a little bit about who we truly are. You know, do you think If it were possible, do you think that Jesus would like us to go through his photo album? You know, from the time that he was a baby in Bethlehem all the way up and he was 12 years old and in the temple and those things. Do you think that Jesus would like to share those pictures of us? We all have countless pictures of Jesus in our minds. You know, think about the pictures that you've seen of Jesus. Of course, at Christmas time, we have the baby Jesus in the manger. We all love that scene. And we have pictures of, like I showed one of the to the children, of Jesus blessing the children. We have pictures of Jesus in our homes, you know, the Good Shepherd. We have pictures of Jesus who, you know, is teaching his disciples. We have pictures of Jesus in so many different tender moments, ministering to the people of God and showing, you know, what God's love looks like. We have pictures of Jesus working miracles, feeding 5,000 people. You know, we have pictures of Jesus, you know, healing people. We have pictures of Jesus doing one of his greatest miracles, raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. Do you think that if we were able to sit with Jesus, do you think that he would show us those candid photos? Those ones where people just happen to snatch a picture of him? I think that he would. I think we would enjoy seeing those candid pictures of Jesus because we would soon realize that Jesus loves to be among his people. Jesus loves each one of his people, loves each one of us dearly, and that would come out in the pictures. But what about those pictures of Jesus we don't want to see? What about those pictures that are hard to look at? Do you think Jesus would show us pictures of what he looked like after wandering in the wilderness 40 days, fasting for 40 days and nights, being tempted by the devil? Do you think that he would show us those pictures? Well, what about the time when Jesus was predicting his death and Peter said, "No way, Lord, this won't happen," and he had to rebuke Peter? Well, what about Jesus as he's walking by cursing the fig tree? You know, do you think Jesus would show us those pictures as well? And then today we turn the page in the photo album. Today we turn the page and we see a picture of Jesus taking some cords and making them into a whip and driving out the merchants and the money changers, driving them out of the temple. You know, what would we say to Jesus as he showed us that picture? What could we possibly say? You know, when we take a look at pictures, people's pictures, "Oh, that's so cute," or "Oh, that's so lovely." I remember, what would we say to Jesus as we saw a picture of him driving the money changers out of the temple? Would we dare ask him about it? Would we comment? Or would we pretend that we didn't see it and just let him flip the page? The trouble is, we can't ignore it. We can't ignore that picture. It's there. It's plain and simple. We know it happened, and we don't want to admit it, but we bear some fault in this. The real question is, would we ask Jesus, "What happened that made you so mad?" We might not even want to bring it up. John doesn't mind bringing it up at all. John doesn't waste any time bringing it up. Matthew, Mark, and Luke bring it up, but they bring it up in the last stages of Jesus' life. There at the few days before he's crucified. John, he brings it up at the very beginning of the story. Chapter 2 of his gospel. He gets right to it. From the very opening verses of John's account, John is helping us to get to know who Jesus is and why he came. Last week we asked the question, who's Jesus and why does he matter? This week, John's showing us Jesus came to earth to save sinners. He introduced us to Jesus as God's Word made flesh. He introduced us to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And here, already in chapter 2, he leaves little doubt in the telling of his gospel story just how Jesus feels about sin. You know, just a few minutes ago, we heard the reading of God giving the Ten Commandments. Ever since Adam and Eve took a bite of the forbidden fruit, You know, we, people of God, have been disobedient. Every one of us has broken these Ten Commandments over and over and over again. You know, following the Exodus, following those 400 years in bondage, you know, Moses brought the people to the mountain of God, and God gave Moses the law. God set boundaries for his people. God set boundaries so that we might realize our disobedience and come to know that we are sinners in need of a Savior. God set those boundaries so that we might refrain from sinful behavior. Yet time and time and time again, we have fallen short of God's expectations. Try as we might. We know the Ten Commandments. I bet everybody here, if you thought about it, you could list all Ten Commandments. We know them, but we can't keep them. The first commandment that our Heavenly Father gives, you shall have no other gods. Yet what do we do in our human life? We surround ourselves with the other gods of this world. We surround ourselves with our wealth, our personal wealth, our property, those things that give us pleasure, those things that we think give us joy, those things that might give us security. Yet when Jesus saw what was going on in the temple, and he saw how the people have set themselves above the law, he drove them out. He was angered that even in the holiest of places, God's people continue to set other gods in place of the one true God. It's little wonder that Jesus' response to sinfulness was to turn the tables of the money changers over and to make a whip and drive everybody out. Jesus came, don't make any mistake about it, Jesus came to turn the tables over on sin. He came to redeem that which was lost so long ago. Jesus came to save people from their sins, and he means to do it. And so he scattered the animals given for sacrifice. He threw the money tables over. As we progress through this season of Lent, here we are, right smack dab in the middle of Lent, the third week. As we continue to recall these different pictures of our Lord Jesus, those things that we glean from the scriptures, the stories that we've been told, soon we come across those photos that are the hardest ones to look at, the ones that are the most difficult to see. Jesus weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus standing after being beaten, standing before Pilate with a crown of thorns on his head. And finally, Jesus being lifted up on a cross. Those images of Jesus are not the ones that we choose to look at. But those are the ones that we need to see. Those are the images that need to be ingrained in our mind because of our sinfulness. Jesus came to earth and did these things for our sake. Seeing these images call us to repentance. They call us to consider the tables in our lives that Jesus would turn over. What is it about our lives, about our homes, about our places of work, our churches, all these things? What is it in these places that we do to displease our Lord and God? What would it take for Jesus to fashion a whip out of cords and drive them out of our lives? Which of the Ten Commandments do we fail to keep the most? Which of those Ten Commandments do we see as such obstacles, hard obstacles to overcome? How many other gods do we put in front of us? You know, when we speak of our neighbors, do we always cast them in the most favorable light? Do we always make sure to hold on to what is ours, thinking, seeing that it is a blessing from God and help our neighbors to retain their property as well? Or do we find loopholes in the system to make gains that may or may not be appropriate? Or do we resort to bearing false witness to make ourselves look better at the cost of somebody else? You know, the most interesting about looking, interesting thing about looking through Jesus' photo album is that as we look deep into the text, as we gaze at all these pictures and we see all these things that Jesus did, all these things that he went through, we begin to see ourselves in the story. And as we get to know Jesus better and better and better, we also get to know our own person. We get to know our own self. And we realize we need a Savior. God gave us the commandments to point out our sin. As we contemplate these commandments, we realize we fall short of the mark. We need a Savior. Thanks be to God we have one in the person of Jesus Christ. People of God, the lessons during Lent are heavy. The texts that we preach, the texts that we study, give us the complete picture of who we are. But even more than that, they give us the complete picture of who Jesus is. We have a God who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Ours is a God who waited until just the right time to invade our time and space and to come among his people as Christ the Lord. He's the God who delivered his people from bondage years ago, and he's the God who continues to deliver his people from the bondage of sin. And he does this by ridding the temple of our bodies of those things that would keep us from a relationship with him. What are those things that we need driven out? What are those things where we need in our lives the tables turned over? What needs to be scattered? It won't be long until we turn that final page of the album, the photo album that Jesus shows us. On that day, several weeks from now, we'll behold one of the most glorious pictures we could ever imagine. We will behold the picture of our Lord Jesus in all of his glory, standing there in front of the empty tomb, early in the morning while it's still dark, as Mary falls to her knees crying and she recognizes her Lord. This is the picture we long to see. This is the picture that gets us through day by day by day. This is the picture that gives us assurance to know that because Jesus lives, we shall live also. Lent is halfway over. May we continue to faithfully study these lessons of Lent. May we continue to strive towards repentance and seek God's mercy and forgiveness and compassion. And on that Easter morn, behold the glory of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.